From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We, as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Monday to you across the Civic Media Talk Radio Network. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, if you were listening on Friday, we had a lovely plan of a show for you. And then Stephen Miller stood on the White House lawn and said, hey, why don't we just suspend that pesky habeas corpus thing? Perhaps it was because the Supreme Court, in a 9-0 decision, about a month and a couple of weeks ago, said that habeas corpus was the single way for someone being detained pending deportation had to challenge that they couldn't use other mechanisms. There were other cases with other mechanisms going on. They said no, only has to be can only use habeas. And secondly, they said again 9-0 that you need and must provide due process. These are distinct concepts, but due process is the legal proceedings by which someone would try to bring forward their habeas corpus claims. We don't need to know Latin. Habeas corpus means the right of an individual to protest the government's detention, their seizure of their person. That is what habeas corpus is about. As I have said to you many a time, if there is one thing that separates democracies from everything else, it is due process. The corollary of that is habeas corpus, to protest your detention by the government. If you cannot do this, if habeas corpus is suspended, and we've got couple of great guests today to help us understand what does this mean, what's next, can Trump actually do this? If habeas corpus is suspended, it means this. Masked government agents can come into your house, seize you, and take you to places unknown without ever listing the charges against you, allowing you to call a lawyer, and they can keep you for an undetermined amount of time without you ever being able to talk to family, a lawyer, or getting yourself heard in a court of law. In other words, they can disappear your butt forever or as long as they would choose to. That's what we're talking about. Democracies don't do these things. I'm really pleased, as I do now every Monday, I am joined by my colleague in broadcasting, Matt Rothschild. He has a wonderful podcast you can find on the Civic Media website and anywhere you get podcasts, called Wisconsin Forward. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Hey, good afternoon, Maggie. It's always good to join you on Monday afternoons. Been looking forward to it.
Yes, this is quite a day. And Matt and I are very, very privileged to have with us UW-Madison professor emeritus Howard Schwaber. Welcome to the program, Dr. Schwaber. You have so many degrees, it's almost hard to keep track of them all. Let me briefly credential you, but I'm sure the salience of your discussion this afternoon will be sufficient to all. A PhD from Cornell University in Government, an MA from the University of Chicago in History, that school just a little south of us here, a JD from the University of Washington Law School, and your undergrad from the University of Pennsylvania. Welcome. You teach political science. You've taught in the law school. You're the guy to have on Monday after, you know, maybe we'll get rid of habeas corpus. Welcome to the program, Howard.
Wow. Thank you for having me.
It is indeed a wow. Let's start with this. Was my colloquial explanation of what a suspension of habeas corpus is, was that generally accurate? That's what it means if it goes away.
Oh, I think it was more than accurate. In fact, I think you used the key term, which is sometime in the 1980s, we in the Western Hemisphere learned to use the word disappear as a verb. Disappearing people is something that I first heard about in the Latin American context. People were snatched off the street and simply never heard of again. And it was simply that your husband, your wife, your friend, your child, your parent went to work one day and just didn't come home, and that was it. You never heard anything else. Historically, the idea that that might happen and the idea that that is in some way the worst possible abuse of rule of law there could be is really old. It's not at all the 1980s. It goes back to the 16th century. Habeas corpus comes from English common law, as I know that you know. It was called the Great Writ. And I really want to emphasize a crucial point here. The point of habeas corpus is actually not to protest capture, but it literally means produce the body. And what it means is, and this is British originally, if the King of England's agents seized somebody, there was a way, and the name for that way was courts and law, to require that person be produced, prove that, it's sort of like in a hostage situation, proof of life.
Yes.
Show us the person, prove to us you have the person, and now make some justification for why you're holding them. The reason that's so important, there are two reasons that's so important. Number one, this is very deep-seated in Anglo-American law. It's a very deep-seated in the principles of the American Constitution. It's about as fundamental as it gets. And if you, at the moment we have Stephen Miller bloviating, but if this actually became something that President Trump started to do, I would argue that it would not be inappropriate to start using an 18th century term, tyrant. Which I have to be honest, I don't think is appropriate. I've resisted people who've used words like fascism to describe this administration. I think it's an exaggeration. But this would cross precisely that line in that mind in a way that's at least 300 years old in our history. The second point about all that, or third, I've lost track, frankly, is that Stephen Miller presented this in a very cute, if you like, verbal kind of way. He said, well, we're thinking of suspending habeas corpus with respect to immigrants. That's meaningless. And the reason that's meaningless is exactly the same as the reason why it's meaningless to say we don't need trials for criminals whom we know are guilty. Trials are places you find out questions of fact, like is somebody guilty of a crime? Hearings are where you find out questions of fact, like is someone an illegal immigrant? If you can't have a hearing, then the fact that you're an American citizen, hypothetically, is not any protection at all against being seized because you never get to raise, you literally never get to raise the point that they've got the wrong person. Maybe it's a mistaken identity, right? Maybe it's an erroneous suspicion. It doesn't matter. So the suspension of habeas corpus cannot be limited. You can't say we're suspending habeas corpus as to X group of people. By definition, if you suspend habeas corpus, what you're taking away is the possibility of saying, hey, I'm not part of that group of people. Aside from anything else, have I committed a crime? Or am I the person named in this warrant or anything else?
Folks, that is Professor Howard Schwaber of the University of Wisconsin at Madison. Howard, I want to elevate two things that you said. When habeas corpus is suspended, it doesn't matter who you are. Your status as a citizen becomes irrelevant because you could never complain because you're not entitled to have your person in a courtroom to say, hey, you made a mistake. Not only am I not a criminal, I am a citizen, and so I shouldn't have been disappeared. Now, using that as you started as a verb, that's what's critical here. It's either on or off, and it creates risk for all when habeas corpus is suspended.
Well, that's right. And it's not even just that. You can't even say you have the wrong person. You can't say anything. There's no opportunity. This is something that, by the way, I mean, I should acknowledge, we should all acknowledge, it has happened in American history four times. Most famously, Abraham Lincoln suspended habeas corpus for Confederate sympathizers in the North in the early part of the Civil War. And the Supreme Court eventually said, no, you can't do that. That was wrong. I want to acknowledge, the court said that only after the war was over. But Lincoln went back to Congress and got authorization. Let's not overstate this. It's not that habeas corpus can never be suspended. During the Bush administration, we saw exactly the suspension of habeas corpus attempted as part of the war on terror. It can be suspended. It's been tried before. But it has to be done by Congress. In the past, the Supreme Court has stood up and said anything less than that is not acceptable. Historically, it is only in cases of most extreme possible emergency that habeas corpus suspension can be justified. And it is an extraordinarily extreme move. To have an action like that declared, at least putatively, unilaterally, by a president when we're not at war, without the cooperation of Congress, well, I used the word tyrant before, and I want to reiterate, I have tried to resist what I think is sometimes overheated rhetoric by the critics of President Trump, but I think with respect to Mr. Miller, it's very hard to overstate the extent to which his statements are threats to the constitutional rule of law.
Professor Schwaber, Matt Rothschild here, and you mentioned his cute language, Stephen Miller, who's deputy chief of staff, I believe, so it's not like he's a nobody in the Trump administration. He was cutesy with his language in another way, in that he said, well, we might do this if the judges don't rule the right way, essentially. So he was telling the Supreme Court, you know, have our back on this one so we don't have to go do this unilaterally. Did you see that kind of cutesy move too?
Oh, it's actually, I mean, there's a lovely, in a very sarcastic way. There's an echo here. We believe in elections as long as we win.
Yes.
This is exactly the same logic. Trump, so it's interesting. A lot of my colleagues have spent a lot of time talking about the phrase constitutional crisis. Are we in one? Is one coming? What would be the trip line? And a lot of people think, well, the line would be if Trump ever overtly defied a ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court, which he has not done. Up until then, he and his administration have evaded rulings. They've appealed rulings, which of course they're entitled to do. They've disputed rulings. But he's always been very careful and very, you know, to say, including his Meet the Press interview a few days ago, well, of course, we'll abide by the U.S. Supreme Court. Miller is laying down a gauntlet. And let's be clear, President Trump has not said this. Stephen Miller said this. But Miller laid down a gauntlet and said, essentially, even if the Supreme Court, I'll put it the other way, if the Supreme Court were to rule against us, we would act unilaterally to simply say law, we're in a no-law zone. We're in a state of exception here where law does not apply. That's, even by the standards of recent politics, deeply shocking.
It's interesting to me, Professor, because in that statement, I thought Stephen Miller gave away the game a little bit. Here's what I mean. He admits it's not the judicial review. It's not the act of providing due process to pending deportees that is the problem. It's simply the possibility that the government might lose, that their position is wrong. Like, that's what's triggering the potential suspension of habeas corpus, not the fact that the court is requiring due process. And I love the distinctions here, Professor Schwaber, of they're evading the Supreme Court's ruling. They're dancing around it. They're using very careful language to not outright contradict the ruling. They are deploying every rhetorical and linguistic, and it's not me, it's that other person that made the decision, trick in the book. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maggie Dawn. I got a great co-host with me today, Matt Rothschild. He's the host of Wisconsin Forward, a podcast on the Civic Media Network. We're joined by UW Professor Emeritus Howard Schwaber, political scientist, lawyer. You're not going to want to go anywhere. We continue to discuss, what does habeas mean to you? Does it matter in your day-to-day life? And what was all this bluster from Stephen Miller really about? Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.